Okay, now I'm turning it over to Lonnie. He's going to speak on fear. You want a 5-minute warning when your time is almost up?
Yeah, that would be good. Probably need to also do something with myself so I know I can sort of track myself with this. Hi, I'm Lonnie. I am a recovered addict, and I'm also a codependent working on emotional sobriety. And that is a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And I believe that it will always be that way. I don't know if I can't imagine that I ever will reach a point where I say I am a recovered, I don't know, chaos creator, codependent. I know that I've had a lot of freedom in regards to this. And just the fact that I would be in the middle of what is going on in my life and be willing to talk about fear is just miraculous, because when I came into BBA, I was just so mired down in fear, and just to talk about fear made me fearful. And then my adrenaline would start going and I would just be in this whole fear spiral. And it is not that way today. But I do know that if I don't, if I rest on my laurels, that the fear will come in. And that's the thing that is almost like a red light, is when that starts swirling, then there's something going on. And what's happened to me is that I am, you know, everything in my recovery that makes me restless, irritable, and discontent has to do with fear. My resentment has to do with fear. It's all run by fear. And so when I am disturbed, these days I actually do a shortcut, and I just, you know, I can feel that. I can feel the fear in my body. I can feel the anxiety ramping up, and I just stop and I say, God, please remove my fear, and just direct my attention to what you would have me be. And just try not to figure it out, because that's what really drives, it drives the self-reliance is what drives the fear. And it just is, it's a no-win situation. The only win in this, the only win in this has to do with having God reliance and working, these steps and working this program to the best of my ability, and to keep clearing away that self-reliance and keep clearing away the stuff that blocks me from God. So I remember I came to BBA probably 4 years ago. So I went through it the first time, and I've been in recovery since 1984, I think it is, something like that. And I have a history of being clean, sober, and abstinent, and not really working a program, having middle of the road solution, and relapsing with narcotics, and, you know, just being really in the bedevilments and in and out of my substance. And God led me to Big Book Awakening. And at that time, I realized that I never had totally gone through the steps. I kept coming to step three and thinking that I needed to define God and that I couldn't go any further. And what I've learned in Big Book Awakening is the rest of the steps, you know, it's just a decision to walk with, to have some trust and walk with God. And the rest of the steps will bring me to that relationship and my continued willingness to live in the steps is continues to improve that relationship. But I remember somewhere in between putting down the substance and before I found Big Book Awakening, I had a sponsor who was, I don't know, taking me through the steps, asked me to write a fear inventory. And I just wrote down all of my fears. I had pages and pages of fears. And then I sat down with her and I read them all to her. That was about it. I read all my fears to her and that was it. And I'll tell you right now that that did not work because I guess she thought that I would purge them out. And just like I said at the beginning, talking about my fear just fed my fear. So I'm going to go in the book to the bottom of page 65, which is where we start with the fear inventory. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite, oh, wait a minute. Is that where I'm at? Where's the fear inventory? Oh, no. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. I'm still in resentment back there. We're going to go to page 67, the bottom of 67. So there it, we're just completing our resentment inventory. And it says, notice the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer and the wife. This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did we not ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. And definitely, I remember hearing somebody talking about, stealing. When they say class with stealing, I think we're talking about sins. And I apologize for anybody that is offended by that. But I remember hearing this man talk about, the middle letter in sin is I, and there's a good reason for that. And I think about that with my fear that it has stolen so much from me and it continues to steal stuff from me if I don't look at it. And I wanna wish it away. I wanna wish it away. We talk about we couldn't wish resentment away any more than we could wish our substance away. I can't wish fear away. And I want to push it down and ignore it. And then it pops up all over the place. And I find the further I go on in recovery, the sneakier it gets. It looks like different things and it doesn't, it gets slipperier and slipperier. And it's almost like it's out of a science fiction movie. And I think about where it talks about that our life, the fabric of our existence was shot through with it. And I've learned in doing inventory. And, as I've gotten deeper into inventory, how it's almost like I can visualize the threads that are going through that fabric and how they just will go down through my life and go into, like earlier and earlier and earlier in my life to where it started. And that's where my recovery comes from. It is, when we talk about looking at things and finding out root and branch, or being able to pull things out root and branch, that I need to know where it's coming from. And for me, I've seen how there are so many things that happened in my early childhood that, I grew up in a very dysfunctional family. I grew up pretty much in a combat zone. And I was I was abused emotionally, some other ways. And so, you know, that happened, but I learned to recreate that through my life and to continue recreating it. And so recreating that just drives the fear, and the fear drives the resentment. So we go on and it says, we reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. And, you know, I think here that the delusions that I have that if I could just make this situation exactly the way that I wanted it to be, that I wouldn't have this fear. And so, you know, part of it that I'm in the middle of a four-step, and part of it is looking at some belief systems that I've had that haven't gone away, and thinking that if I could be, if I could express myself more clearly, if I could be more cerebral, if I could have less feelings, if I could be like this other person, if I looked a certain way, if I had this confidence, that I would be okay. And within the last week, I've seen where I've been there, and it actually, and I think in my mind that it will make people like me more. And so I've been there, and I think it's a little off-putting where I think I want to be. And so this whole line that says, when it made us cocky, it was worse. So overly self-assertive. And so I don't know what's best for me. I don't know a lot of the time what my intentions are. I definitely don't know what's driving a lot of this unless I'm willing to write and to be with another spiritually awake person to invite God in and to look at this stuff. And it definitely has happened little by slowly with me to be able to begin to understand what my motives were. But when it comes down to it, as it says here, wasn't it the self-reliance failed us? So perhaps there is a better way. We think so, for we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in this world to play the role he assigns. And I have written in my book, This Tells Me Why I'm in the World, and that I trust this infinite, this infinite being. And it seems like every time I go through the work, I come to this point where, you know, I have to ask myself, how on earth do I think that I, with this little finite mind, can define this infinite being? And so me trying to, on my own power, to run the whole show and to figure out how to take care of myself, figure out how to navigate relationships, figure out how to navigate this world, and thinking that, somehow I have to figure out in my mind what this infinite being is that is taking care of me. And I'm just sort of floored by the way that my mind works when it goes down that rabbit hole. So and then it goes on to say, We're in this world to play the role he assigns, just to the extent that we do what we think he would have us and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity. And, you know, what a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise that if I, you know, if I am willing to show up in this world and try to have this connection and the willingness to do what my higher power wants me to do, that he can match calamity with serenity. And then it goes on to say, we never apologize to anyone for depending upon our creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. At once we commence.
Five more minutes. Sorry.
Thank
five
you.
More minutes.
Okay. At once we commence to outgrow fear. So, you know, I think I had this all mixed up at one point that, you know, that I would stop and ask God to tell me what to do. And it says here that we let him demonstrate through us what he, not I, can do. And so that, and I think, you know, that goes back to our relationships from the third step, and that I am, you know, I'm the agent and God is the principal. And so that he can demonstrate through me what he can do. And then just to remove my fear and direct my attention to what he would have me be. But my experience has been that my fear does not disappear. And I know that God walks through me, walks with me through the fear. And as long as I am thinking that my end goal is going to be that my fear is going to disappear, I stay in self-reliance. So the last thing I wanted to share, you know, we do the fear grid when we're going through the fourth step, and it's just pretty much, you know, what's the fear and why do I have that 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 fear until I get to the end. And the end is supposed to be that ultimately I have it because I'm relying on myself and my self-reliance fails. So I also do a 10th step on fear. And this is my 10th step on fear, which has been very helpful. And it is, what's the fear? Why do I have it? How does self-reliance fail me? What happens when I rely on self? How do I get the ball rolling, feed into it, basically? And then I pray the fear prayer, God, please demonstrate through me what you can do. And please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And then I sit 3 to 5 minutes. And then I write down what comes to me as far as what God would have me be in place of the fear. And then I share it with another person. And I found that very helpful. Some people here know that I'm going through a really scary time in my life, and that being a chaos creator, that fear can just come in and take over and create a cyclone. And this basically centers me. It doesn't take the fear away, but it makes it so that it is, you know, it's here and now fear. It's not chaos creating fear. If anyone understands, hopefully you understand that. And it brings me back to that God's here, God's got me, God's got a plan. And That doesn't mean I'm not going to have uncomfortable situations, but he's going to help me and walk me through it. So that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lonnie. That was great. I'm going to stop the recording.